ask that you open them up to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. We're going to start out in Jude this morning. We're going to read a few verses. And then we're also going to flip over to Matthew chapter 5. If you want to place a little marker in your Bible in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to go from Jude to Matthew chapter 5. So we'll start out in Jude. I want to just kind of open up this morning and share a little bit of my heart with you and just let you know that as I was preparing for this morning with the events of this week and everything we see going on around us, I probably, like many other preachers that are preaching this morning, have a lot on my mind. I have a lot on my heart. As I look around and I see that people are hurting and I see that people are scared. And it's been a rough year. 2020 has been a rough one. And I come to church this morning knowing that people have heavy hearts and knowing that people are hurting and just praying that I could give you some encouragement this morning. Yes. I can give you some peace this morning. And praying that whoever hears the Lord's message this morning will just have a peace that passes understanding to know that it is well with our soul as Christians. The God is still in control. He hasn't lost control. Nothing's caught Him off guard. Nothing has surprised Him. He's seen all of this coming before it came. He's got a plan. His plan will happen. It will take place. Nothing's going to stop it. But yet we see what's going on around us, and it can be worrisome. So we're going to start reading in Jude. Before we do, I'm going to ask that you bow your head and pray with me this morning. And I ask that you pray that the Lord have His way in service this morning, that the Lord will speak to your heart and challenge your heart. And I pray you leave here challenged and encouraged. And I ask that you pray for me that the Lord would be able to speak through me this morning to deliver His message. Father, I thank You for everything that You've done. I thank You for the chance to be in Your house this morning. I thank You for the great opportunity, dear God, to share Your Word. And I pray that You would forgive me of all of my sins and where I have failed You, that there would be nothing that hindered the Holy Spirit from working through me this morning, dear God. Father, I thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of our sins. Lord, I pray You bless this message. Bless the reading of Your Word. Let it be an encouragement, dear God, to those who hear. We ask all this in Your name. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start reading in Jude in verse number, we're going to jump up to verse 17. It says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." And verse 22 says this, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." Some have compassion, making a difference. Again, I just want to just, as I look at everything that's going on around us, as I watch the news, and I see the protest, and I see the riots, and I see people being hurt, I see lives being taken. And I've seen the video of the man in Minneapolis as a man senselessly lost his life. I see all these things going on. I see the coronavirus and the pandemic that we're in. I see that concern. I see the concern not only over the pandemic, but I see people are concerned about motives of different laws and restrictions that they're passing. That we don't, be honest, if we're honest, we don't know what's for our safety and what's being government overreach and what's about control. At the end of the day, we just don't know. There's just a lot of uncertainty going on. A lot of uncertainty. As we read in Jude, I notice that the first thing that they remind us of is what it's going to be like in the end time. He says that in verse 18, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. And it's talking about the end time. It says in the last time, and I can't help but think how this correlates with 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. We won't turn there. But that first verse says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And as we get closer to the last days, perilous times are going to come. That word perilous just means full of danger and risk. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, things are going to get worse and worse. We see that if we was to continue reading in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it tells us that people are going to be lovers of their own selves, that they're going to be covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, or could I say lack of compassion, false accusers, despisers of those that are good, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Just like in Jude, it says they'll be sensual in the end times. Having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. In Jude, we see that they're without the Spirit. And in 2 Timothy, we see that they have a form of godliness but denying the power of. I wouldn't say it to stretch to say that they're lost. I was getting to the end times. People are lost. People don't have the Lord. They say 100,000 people died to coronavirus. And those numbers, people are questioning. Like I said, there's so much uncertainty. People are questioning, did they actually die of coronavirus or did they die in a car accident and it just so happens they had coronavirus and they counted it as a death? Listen, the truth is we don't know. But as Christians, I'm not so concerned about the 100,000 that died, whether they had COVID or not. I'm concerned about whether those 100,000, how many of them had Christ when they died? Regardless of their cause of death, 100,000 people have went out into eternity. And depending on whether they had Christ in their heart or not, some of them are enjoying all the glories of heaven, but some of them closed their eyes and opened them in a terrible place called hell. And I look at what's going on. I see death around us. I see people dying. And I wonder, are they dying with Christ? I look around and I can't help but I want to make a difference. I want to help. I don't just want to sit idly by in fear. But I want to do what God's called me to do and be a light and help and make a difference in somebody's life. The Bible says that if some have compassion, making a difference. Man, the difference some compassion would make. This world needs some compassion. I'll tell you, if that officer, and I'm not trying to pick on him, but had he had a little compassion, maybe that man would still be here today as he begged for his life. And that officer just knelt with his knee on his neck and never let up. What a little bit of compassion would have done that day. Same thing in the streets. I see rioting. I see buildings being burned down. I see people being jumped and kicked to death. And I think what a little compassion would do. This world's in need of some compassion. But with everything, with all that's taking place, as we draw closer to the end time, as we see perilous times coming, with the pandemic that we're in, with the rioting that we've seen, with the violence, the loss of life, I ask you, where's the church in this? What is the spirit of the church in this? If there was a time that the church needs to stand up and make a difference, it's now. If there's anyone that's going to make a difference, like it says in Jude, verse 22, and if some have compassion, making a difference. If there's anybody that's going to make a difference in America today, it's the church. It's you and me. It's the Christians. We are the ones that can make a difference. The difference, listen, when they're riding in the streets, that's not going to make a difference. The buildings that they burn down, that's not going to make a difference. The tear gas that they're firing into these crowds, that's not going to make a difference. The rubber bullets that they're firing into the crowd, that's not going to make a difference. Washington is not going to make a difference. There's not a law that can be passed that's going to make a difference. What's going to make a difference is you and I, as Christians, standing up and doing what's right and having compassion and trying to make a difference in this world. You and I as Christians, we should not be like everybody else who are in fear. And I know that we're uncertain times, and I know that there is some fear that's involved in that. But you and I as Christians should be able to stand out in this time because we know who's in control. We come in and we sing, "It is well with my soul." But I asked you a question this morning. Is it well with your soul? When you watch TV, when you see all of these different things going on, can you just say, it is well. Even so, come Lord Jesus. We know that He's in control. But you and I as Christians, we need to be the ones that make a difference. We can't be like everybody else. I can't help but think about when David went to the battlefield with his corn and his bread and his cheese to give food to his brothers. And his dad Jesse sent him out. And he went to the battlefield, and you had a giant there named Goliath that was defying the armies of the living God. And all of Israel was hiding scared in the trenches, and everybody was scared to fight. But David did not join them in the trenches. David did not join them in their fear. David stood up and said, "Is there not a cause?" And he went out, and he fought that giant, and he cut his head off. I tell you, the story of David and Goliath is really one of my stories in the Bible. I could read it over and over again. David went out there with a sling and fought a giant, and he threw that stone. And that stone hit Goliath right there between the eyes. You know what? I like the old saying that some said Goliath was too big to fight. David said he's too big to miss. And David went out, and he threw that stone, and Goliath fell. And David went out and took that sword, and he chopped the head off of Goliath. And if you read the story, he was pretty proud of that. He kind of walked around with it for a little bit. But what I'm saying is David didn't join them in fear. David had confidence in the God of Israel. God had been with him before, and David did not join them in fear. I'd like you to turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to start reading verse 13. The Bible says this: "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, I'd like to point out to you this morning these two verses. I want you to notice them. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world." Who is that ye? That is the Christians. That's you and I. That is the church. It is us. We are to be the salt of the world. We are to be a light to the world. It should be us that have compassion making a difference. And if Christians would start having some compassion for one another, for the lost world, what a difference it can make. I look back at the story of the Good Samaritan. When that man was on his way traveling and he got He got beat. A mob kind of took him over and beat him and left him for dead in the middle of the road. And the Bible says that a priest come by. And when he saw him, he passed on the other side. He didn't want to go nowhere near him. The Bible says that a Levite come by and saw him. And he passed on the other side. He didn't want to have anything to do with him. But then the Bible says that a Samaritan come up. And it says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, come where he was. And when he saw him, it says this, he had compassion on him. And that's what made the difference. What made him different from the priest? What made him different from the Levites? When he saw this man, he had compassion on him. I think back to times in my life where I needed some compassion. I can think back to times where I needed some compassion from the Lord. I can't help but think about the prodigal son when he left. And he told his father, he said, you give me everything that I have coming. I don't want to wait. I can't wait. I want everything that's mine. And he took off and he left his dad. He left his family. And the Bible says he went out and he spent all that he had on riotous living. Then he brought down low. After he spent all he had, he found himself eating with the pigs, feeding the pigs slop. And all he had to eat was the slop he was feeding the pigs. And then the Bible says this, he came to himself. I like that part. He came to himself. Listen, when we get away from God, I hope it doesn't take long before we come to ourselves and realize it's time to go back. And that's what he did. He sat there in that slop, and the Bible says that he came to himself. And he said this. He said, I'm no more worthy to be called my father's son. He says, but I would like to go back and just be a servant for him. If my dad will just allow me to come back home just to be a servant. Not as his son, but just give me a job, let me work, and let me just be a servant for thee. He had had a big piece of humble pie, and he was headed back home. But then the Bible says this in Luke chapter 15 and verse 20, as he came back home, it says, and he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And you know the story. That he put a ring on his finger and he put a robe over him and he brought him in, not as a servant, but as his son. And I'm thankful that when we come back to Jesus Christ, whenever we get away from him, whenever we come back, that with open arms he is ready to forgive us of all of our sins. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And because of the compassion of God, he's able to forgive you and I. We need to share that same compassion to one another. Amen. Compassion allows you to forgive. It was because of his compassion that he was able to forgive his son. I can't think of a greater example of compassion than Jesus hanging on the cross. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. After they had punched him in the face, after they had spit in his face, after they had ripped the beard out of his face, after they had scourged him with the cat of nine tails, after they drove those spikes through his hand, they drove those spikes through his feet, and he's hanging there in agony, and he hollers out, Father, forgive them. Oh, what a picture of compassion. And if Jesus can do that, you and I as Christians, we should be able to forgive anyone. Where's the compassion at? Where did the compassion go? Everyone screams for justice. We want justice. We want justice. And don't get me wrong. Justice does need to be served. But it needs to be done in the spirit of compassion. The Bible says, if you read a few verses up here, blessed in verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And you and I need to remember that, yes, it's okay to call for justice, but do it in the spirit of compassion. Listen, I too believe when a life is taken, an innocent life is taken, when there's a senseless death, those who are responsible should be held accountable. But I'll tell you this, that's somebody's son too. And I'll tell you, when it's your son, when it's your daughter, when it's your loved one that has committed some crime and done something wrong, and they're going to have to answer for it. You'll understand it. They need justice. You'll understand they'll have to answer for what they did. But you will hope for mercy. You will hope for some leniency. We need some compassion. The church needs to show love. It needs to show compassion. I see our nation divided. One side just hates the other. I mean, if one side said oxygen was the greatest thing in the world, the other side would hold their breath till they died. The Bible says a house divided cannot stand. Let me tell you, as Christians, and I see it on social media, I have politicians I disagree with. But I see people on social media making fun of them and making cartoons about them. But I'm going to tell you, as Christians, that's not the way it should be. Amen. Hey, you can hate policy, but you can't hate people. We're supposed to pray for our leaders and love them, even if we disagree with their political view. Our country is in need of healing. Which brings me to Matthew chapter 7. The Bible says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" Now, there's a lot of things that salt's good for, right? Amen. You ever had unsalted fries? Not good. Not good, right? Yes, you pour some salt on that and it makes all the difference in the world. Yes, sir, I love going to Chili's and getting the chips and salsa. And as soon as it comes out, we put half a bottle of salt on them chips. Amen. And you have to, because the salt kind of falls off anyway. You got salt makes all the difference. It gives things some flavor. But I'll tell you something else that salt does, and there's a lot that can be said about salt. Salt has the ability to heal. It has the ability to heal. I grew up in Florida. And when I was a teenager, I spent a lot of my time in the woods, being a boy, climbing trees, running through barefoot, running through thorns. And I'd gotten scratched. When I first got married, I was a surveyor. And I spent a lot of time chopping line through the woods and I'd get through thorn patches, and I just kind of stayed scratched up. But living in Florida, you know what felt really good if you had a bunch of little scratches kind of all over you from running through the woods? But going down to the ocean and just jumping in that salt water. Because I can remember growing up having sores or scuts or something, and we'd jump in that salt water, and that salt water would bring healing to those wounds. Amen. I want to remind you, if you read back in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14, it says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven." When I hear their prayers, it says this, "And I will heal their land." Amen. If our country is in need of healing this morning, let me tell you whose job it is. It's the salt of the earth. Amen. It's you and I. It's our job to make a difference. Then the Bible says this, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Not only are we the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world. A few years ago, my dad, my parents love Costco. They love Costco. Every time we go over there, they got 50 of everything. Because they got everything, they go to Costco. And they had the flashlight. They had this flashlight on sale a couple years ago. And I don't know how many flashlights my parents got, but I know it seems like everybody in the family got a flashlight. And he gave us that flashlight. They was telling us how, but during the daytime, couldn't really tell. But I remember going home that night, as we was unloading all of our presents for a car, it was dark, and I went to our backyard, and I turned this flashlight on, and I opened it up, and it lit up. We're sitting on an acre and a quarter, and my whole backyard just lit up. I couldn't believe how bright that light was. And I was like, man, that's pretty awesome. But you know, I got it in here. You really can't tell how bright it is, right? But if we were to turn all these lights off in here and it was to get dark, you would see how bright this light is. What I'm trying to say is this. The darker it is around us, the brighter our light should shine. And I think we would all agree that the world's a pretty dark place right now. And the darker the world is, you and I as Christians, our light should be shining bright. Amen. It should be brighter than it's ever shined before. But you know what the Bible says? Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. In other words, it also tells us up here that when salt loses its savor, it's no more good for anything but to be cast out, trodden under the foot of man. So when salt loses its savor, when a light gets covered up, guess what? It loses its purpose. It loses its purpose. And when we're not being the salt of the earth and when we're not being the light of the world, guess what? We're not serving our purpose as God's people. Amen. I told you that this light gets brighter as the dark, as it darkness, as it's dark around the light, the brighter that light shines. You can see a difference. You can tell a contrast. But I've noticed that today, you can't tell a big difference between Christians and the lost world. Now, either one or two things. The world is living so righteous that their light's shining as bright as ours. Or maybe we're just as dark as they are. The Bible says that when we get saved, we're supposed to be different. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He tells us in the book of Corinthians that we are supposed to come out from among them and be ye separate. There is supposed to be a difference between the way that a lost person acts and the way that a saved person acts. The way that we think should be different. The way that we talk should be different. The music we listen to should be different. The things that we set before our eyes should be different. The clothes that we wear should be different. And it's time that this world sees a difference in Christians. And that way, listen, if you want to make a difference, you have to be different. You can't make a difference if you're doing the same thing as everybody else. But if we would come out from among them, if we would be the salt of the earth, if we would let our light shine before men, that it may glorify our Father which is heaven, then we can make a difference in this world. But we got to be willing to come out and make that difference. I just want to end you with this simple thought this morning. I want you to just ask yourself this. Are you making a difference? Are you making a difference? We need to make a difference wherever we're at. Amen. We need to make a difference in our home. We need to make a difference in our church. We need to make a difference in our work. Wherever we're at as Christians, we've got to let that light shine. Because I'm going to tell you, the world needs it. Yeah. I'm looking at it, the world needs Jesus. Right. There's just no other way to put it. These rioters, the truth is they need Jesus. And if they could, and I look, and I can't help but think, when Jesus one time, he went out and he saw the multitude scattered out. He saw them all scattered and said, and he had compassion. He said, why? Because there are sheep having no shepherd. And as I see these rioters and I see these protesters, as I see everything going on, I look at them, I see that they're scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And the Bible said that Jesus had compassion on them. And I just look at them. And yes, I can get mad about what's being done. I can get mad about a building being burned down. I can be mad about a car that's being burned up. But at the end of the day, every one of those people has a soul. And they need Jesus. And it's up to you and it's up to me to tell them about it. Amen. TV's not going to tell them about it. Huh? HBO's not going to tell them. Twitter. Facebook. It's up to you and me. So I ask you this morning, is your light shining? Are you being the salt of the earth? Do you have the compassion that the Bible talks about? Heads bowed and eyes closed. I ask nobody looking around. Pastor Josh asked me to do something this morning, and I would just like to take this time that our country is in need of prayer. Hey, I believe prayer makes a difference too, right? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. If you're able and you want to, I'm going to ask you to come up around this altar this morning and pray for our country. pray for our police officers. I pray for just the people of America, those who feel like they've done wrong, been done wrong. I tell you, there are people that are hurting right now. And if you would like to just come up here this morning, take this time to pray for our country. And not only pray for our country, but take this time to maybe do a little self-examination at your own life. What can you do different to make a difference in someone's life?